Merry Christmas, everybody, and have a blessed new year.
Apologetics for the Masses, take two. Stick around. Let's talk about it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Habemos Papam.
Podcasting from a parking lot in the Woodlands, Texas, it's the Catholic Hack with Joe McLean.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope.
Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven.
The Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Do this in memory of me.
Hey listeners, this is Mark from the Catholic Vocations Podcast, and you're listening to The Catholic Hack with Joe McLean. I hope you brought your scuba gear.
Have you heard of the groundbreaking website for Catholics called cmgbooking.com?
Make sure you visit cmgbooking.com to book a great Catholic speaker for your next event. cmgbooking.com is a one-of-a-kind company that represents strictly Catholic speakers and connects them with conferences all over the world. cmgbooking.com is your number one source for Catholic speakers.
Welcome back to the Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McLean. This is episode number 33. Today, we speak with John Martinoni. Finally! This was one of the interviews that I did one time and it got lost forever. And John was gracious enough to give me a mulligan opportunity, a take two, to interview John Martinoni. And I'm going to share that with you today and I hope you enjoy that. Well, have you been preparing your heart for the Advent season? For this joyous celebration, this time of preparation and longing for the birth of the Christ child, the Savior of the world. I hope that you have, and I would love to hear how you and your family have been gearing yourself up for Christmas Day. So please send me some feedback on that. My family and I have been celebrating around the Advent Christmas wreath. We've been lighting the candles and we've been saying some prayers and using this opportunity to come together and pray as a family and offer up intercession for other people. And you have been on our list. We have been praying for you. And there's so many of you who have contacted me recently, and it has been a true, real blessing to share in your experience, share in your life. Many of you are, you know, just like the rest of us, struggling through daily life, struggling in your faith walk, and really enjoying, you know, great Catholic content. And I really appreciate that you've decided to use this podcast, to listen to this podcast, and to plug in and send me your feedback. Thank you very much for that. Well, I hope you're also going to use this Advent season as an opportunity to go to confession, reconciliation. That's a great way to prepare your heart for the coming of the Christ child. Go to your confessor and lay out all of your sins. Don't be afraid. Confession is a beautiful sacrament. It's an opportunity for you to accuse yourself instead of waiting to be accused at your judgment. It's an opportunity for you to just go there and pour it all out and leave it there, because you will hear the words of your Lord say to you, "I absolve you of your sins." How fantastic that is, that our Father in heaven meets us on the road. He watches us. He's looking for us daily. And then when he sees us coming, he doesn't wait for us to come. He goes out to meet us. And then when we're begging for forgiveness, he doesn't just wag his finger at us, but he embraces us. And he doesn't just embrace us, but he restores us to dignity. He gives us the shoes and puts a ring on our finger and clothes us in our regalia. And then he kills the fatted calf and he throws a celebration because we have come back to him. And that's the beauty of reconciliation. So please, take this opportunity and go to confession. My family and I are going to go next Saturday as a family and go and confess our sins and prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ, and I hope you will as well. We'll have some good news for you. I have a couple of new guests on the lineup that I think you're really going to enjoy. Jeff Cavins is going to be on the Catholic Hack podcast. Now, Jeff Cavins has a great Catholic scripture study that he puts together. It's called the Great Adventure Bible Study. Now, some of you may be very well aware of what Jeff Cavins has done. It's a fantastic scripture study. See, most people are somewhat intimidated when they don't study scripture normally. They're intimidated to get started, especially when you're talking about the Old Testament. You know, you get into books like Leviticus, and boy, you get bogged down because that's some dry reading. Well, Jeff encourages people to read the books in a narrative format, to read it like a story, and sort of focus on those books in the Old Testament that can help us accomplish that. And it takes us through salvation history. And I think people get fired up when they start to read it that way. You know, because anybody can read a novel. Most of us do read novels. So if you approached your Old Testament in that form, you'd eat it right up. You probably couldn't get enough of it. And that's the beauty of what Jeff Cavins has done for us as faithful in the church. He's encouraged us and shown us a way to dive deep into the Bible, especially the Old Testament. Back in the 90s, Jeff did a series on EWTN with Scott Hahn called Our Father's Plan. Oh, this was a great series. It really inspired me. It took us through salvation history. And this was like the groundwork that prepared me to read a book called A Father Who Keeps His Promises by Dr. Scott Hahn. Fantastic, fantastic, must-have resource. You've got to get that book. You've got to read that book. You will be blown away by it. But this series in EWTN, you can still get the audio files for this off of EWTN's audio library. If you have problems finding it, send me an email and I'll direct you to those files, because this is a great 13-week course on studying the entire Bible from cover to cover. It's really is a great and fantastic resource. So I will let you know when Jeff Cavins is going to be coming up, but I'm going to be talking to him this week. A special phone call has been set up by his assistant, Kelly, who is also a listener to the Catholic Hack podcast. How wonderful it was to receive an email from Jeff Cavins' assistant that she listens to the Catholic Hack. That was pretty cool, I gotta tell you. Another great person coming up on the Catholic Hack is Steve Ray. Now, I'm sure most of you already know who Steve Ray is, but Steve has produced a series of videos called Walking in the Footsteps. These are fantastic Catholic resources, great apologetic teaching material, because Steve has gone to the Holy Land. He's gone to Turkey. He has gone to Egypt. He has gone to the Sinai Peninsula. He has gone to Greece. He's gone to all these places where our Lord has walked, where the disciples have taught, where the church expanded in those early years. And he shows you the sites, and he talks about these great Catholic teachings, you know, these doctrines of our faith. And he gives you some great apologetics to defend your faith, to build you up. They're wonderful, wonderful materials. And so I'll be giving you, hopefully soon, some details on when Steve will be on the podcast. So look for that. That was a blessing. Just want to say thank you to all those who sent in feedback this last week. It's been a real blessing to communicate with you. I mean, truly it has. I mean, you've warmed my heart by some of the comments that you made, by being able to share with you some of my experiences, and then listening to your experiences. Jason Sims from Madison, Alabama. Samantha Dorgan from Nashville, Tennessee. Gabby Schmood, good friends of ours here in Houston. Chris Ramsey from San Diego, California. John Posey from Sugarland, Texas. Kelly Walquist. Thank you all very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to send me an email. I really do appreciate that. Had some great conversations with Adam the Catholic this week. Adam was blessed by his wife, a very special surprise for him. She took him down to meet and to listen to Dr. Scott Hahn in Kentucky. And he shared that experience with me, and it was pretty moving. It was very, very cool. So, Adam, thank you very much for sharing that with me. Also, Roland from San Antonio, Texas, the very first person to leave me a review on iTunes, was sharing with me how he created a Catholic group on his campus at UTSA. And this was for aspiring law students. And not everybody who shows up is Catholic. And he's done a great thing. He's been bringing in these Catholic judges. And he had a U.S. Supreme Court judge, Justice Scalia, come to his group and speak to an audience of 30. What a fantastic opportunity to evangelize and share your faith in a profession like the legal profession. Wow, that's great work. That's evangelizing. That's boots on the ground kind of evangelizing. That is fantastic. So it really has been a blessing to converse with you. You know, Craig from Australia, Sean from South Africa. Really, thank you all for sharing your experiences with me and your feedback. I have to say there's some downside news this week. Unfortunately, once again, I had an interview that was been sabotaged by a demon who cannot stand me interviewing people. Because I had a great, great conversation with Greg and Jennifer Willits of the Rosary Army and SQPN. I mean, really, we talked for an hour. I really enjoyed myself, and it was a fantastic conversation. Unfortunately, the file didn't take. It was lost. I mean, I checked it 3 or 4 times during the call and made sure everything was all set, and it looked fine. But then as soon as I hung up, I quickly came to realize that only 27 seconds were recorded. I cannot explain it. That's just the breaks. I have to leave that to God and hope that maybe one day I'll have another opportunity. So I do apologize. I was using that conversation to start off my series on the Rosary. So I apologize for the delay on that. After the beginning of the year, after, you know, Christmas, I'm going to go ahead and produce that first show on the Rosary series and get that out there. I'm also going to get out the series on Salvation History, another great series that I cannot wait to start. That is some fantastic material that I'm very excited about sharing with you. I just made a decision to put that off until January. It's been a very, very busy time for my family and I, and in my work in particular. It's been extremely busy. But you know, I also have to ask you for a specific prayer intention. There, a unique opportunity has seemed to have popped up this week. One that I wasn't necessarily looking for, but I would say it's one that I've been praying about for years. It would mean a change for the family, and it would require some special discernment. We definitely want to make sure that we would be doing the will of God. And so please keep that into your prayer list, and I'll let you know. If it does become a real opportunity, I will definitely let you know. In the meantime, we have a great opportunity to speak with John Martinoni of the Bible Christian Society. John is a Catholic apologist. He does the EWTN Open Line Monday program. It's a live call-in show. You can call in and ask your questions about scriptural apologetics, and John does a great job of giving you answers. Now, the one thing I really love about John is he has a very common sense, down-to-earth style about his apologetics. You know, everything can be narrowed down to, does it make sense? That's what's nice about his style, because you don't have to be an expert in scripture. You don't have to have memorized chapter and verse to evangelize. When you start to realize just how much sense your Catholic faith really, you know, makes, well, then you can feel empowered to talk and have a conversation with, you know, someone who might know chapter and verse, you know, better than you. Because when you start to realize that they probably know 20 to 30 verses tops, and they're just repeating them to you over and over again, what they're lacking is that common sense. And I think you're going to see that in his style. I have shared his materials with friends and family many times, and I always get the same thing. Wow, that is really great. That is really cool. He is really empowering us in our faith. And I think you'll enjoy that. You can get his materials off of www.apologetics.com. BibleChristianSociety.com. John also puts out a newsletter that you can get to from that website. You can sign up, and every week he'll send you a newsletter. He has debates, you know, with critics of the Catholic faith every single week, and he actually, you know, shows them to you in his newsletters. They're fantastic resources in and of themselves, and I think you'll enjoy that. Well, we've got to dive deep. We've got to roll up our sleeves, and we've got to get to the truth with John Martinoni.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This school, when I sit, even just a little bit, I get hit with the power that made the veil in the temple split. When I submit, fall on the floor and adore. Can't get enough, got to come back for some more.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Sinner, every human hypocrite can benefit in this school. Repent and commit.
Roger that.
As the incense rises up in adoration of the throne, something happens to my wounded heart from all the love revealed and shown. Bright light Shekinah comes to my aid to assist, to change and sustain the way I think it exists, to feel the bliss because my name is in the book of life's list. That's what happens when you sit in the school of the Eucharist.
Mr. Emmett, take her down. Make your depth 150 feet, 10 degree down bubble.
150 feet, 10 degree down bubble. Aye, sir.
Dive.
Welcome back to the Catholic Act. I'm Joe McLean, and today it is my pleasure to speak with John Martinoni once again. Unfortunately, the first interview did not go so well, but John is gracious enough to give us a second try. John Martinoni is the founder and president of the Bible Christian Society, an apologetics and evangelization apostolate located in Pleasant Grove, Alabama. From 98 to 99, John hosted the Bible Christian Hour, a weekly Catholic apologetics program on Protestant radio. John has served as a high school theology instructor and as a general manager of a Catholic radio station. He has been a past guest on EWTN's Life on the Rock and the Journey Home programs. He is also a frequent guest on Catholic Answers Live. John is currently the host of the EWTN Open Line Monday radio call-in program. John, welcome back to the Catholic Hack.
Joe, good to be back with you.
Thank you once again for your time. John, why don't we get started once again with how did the Bible Christian Society get started? What was your journey like? Now, I know that your education background is in finance, and I believe you worked at a bank for a while. So how did you find yourself in apologetics, and furthermore, how did you find yourself as the president of a Bible apologetics apostolate?
Well, basically, the short form of the story is that I was raised Catholic. When I went off to college, basically left the Catholic Church. I didn't really learn much about my faith growing up. And when I went off to college, got out from under my parents' roof, and basically I was pretty much out of the church for all intents and purposes for about 13 years. Came back into the church. Actually, as I was going to the University of North Carolina to work on a PhD in finance, I did 1 year of that, and at the end of the year, I got out of the finance program, but I came back into the church, so kind of a reversal of what had happened earlier. Once I was back in the church, I was still pretty much a cafeteria Catholic, picking and choosing what I wanted to believe about Catholicism, what I didn't want to believe about the church's teachings and so forth. But I got hold, eventually, of a Scott Hahn conversion story tape, and that was like, you know, throwing gasoline on smoldering embers. It just, something inside of me went, wow, this is incredible stuff. A Protestant minister coming into the Catholic Church because of what he read in the Bible, of all places. Right. You know, that's amazing. So I started getting as much Scott Hahn material as I could, and just, you know, privately teaching myself with Scott Hahn and Carl Keating and Tim Staples and whoever else I could get hold of their stuff, their books, their tapes, whatever. Started teaching myself apologetics. And this was all pretty much on my own, probably for a couple of years. And then one day, I had been working at a bank as an investment analyst, and then at another bank as a commercial credit analyst, and I ended up becoming a business manager for a nonprofit here in Birmingham. It was called the Be an Apostle of Christ Foundation. It was a Salesian ministry, worked with the poor, the children of the poor in particular, on the east side of Birmingham. And one day when I was going to the office, to the post office, I just happened to turn on the Christian station, which I never, ever listened to, and this evangelical Christian station here in Birmingham, and they were playing this anti-Catholic program. So I called to complain, and basically my complaint was ignored, and so I ordered the full set of tapes that they were airing on this particular program. Listened to them, and basically it was 2.5 hours of Catholic bashing from some group called the Messianic Jew Foundation out in, I think, San Antonio or somewhere.
Wow.
And I wrote the station a letter a couple weeks later, and I signed the letter, John Martin, and I said, you know, this program's full of shoddy historical scholarship, shoddy scriptural scholarship. It's nothing but anti-Catholic bigotry. I'd like to work with you to offer a counter to this on your program. And I still didn't mean, you know, me coming on, but I just meant you should give a Catholic time, you know, to come on to counter this. And I wrote the letter, and I signed it John Martinoni, and it hit me. So, you know, they probably don't care who John Martinoni is, so I made up this organization called the Bible Christian Society, thinking that's a name that might get their attention, and I made myself the president of this non-existent organization. And so I signed it John Martinoni, president of the Bible Christian Society, mailed the letter, and they basically ignored it. So a couple weeks later, after telling some friends what I was doing and or had done, and they were all like, wow, we want to join. I'm like, well, it doesn't exist, but we want to join.
It's a good thing you didn't make yourself like the secretary or something.
Yeah, really. Somebody would have outvoted me. I'd probably be off the board by now. But so I started writing people's names down. I ended up with like 25, 30 names on a piece of paper.
Wow.
So I wrote the station another letter saying, we at the Bible Christian Society, not having heard back from you, must assume that you agree with the contents of the program in question. Therefore, we may find it necessary to take unilateral action in this matter, which could include boycotting your station, boycotting your sponsors, possibly picketing your station and letting them know that we were writing down a list of their sponsors. And I had written two down so that I wasn't lying. And we'd have to notify, if we picketed the station, we'd have to notify the local newspapers, radio, TV, etc. And that's really actually what I wanted to do. I wanted to picket the station. I wanted to get my name in the newspaper, Catholics picketing evangelical station, you know, and send it to my mom, say, Mom, your boy got in the newspapers, you know. Well, I mailed that letter Monday morning, and on Tuesday afternoon I got a call from the station saying, you know, we'd like you to come on for half an hour. They had an afternoon live program Monday through Friday. And I said, well, I want 2.5 hours because these other guys had 2.5 hours. I want 2.5 hours. And they said, well, we'll give you an hour. So I settled for an hour. And then I called Jeff Cavins, who happened to be in town working at EWTN at the time. This was back in, 97 maybe? I think it was 97.
When he was Life on the Rocks host?
Yeah, he was still at Life on the Rock, and he came on with me, and it was like, even though we did, I called him and said, hey, Jeff, can you come on with me? He said, sure, it's at this station at this time, and we didn't talk again until we got to the station a couple weeks later, and we got on the air, and again, we were supposed to have an hour. We ended up having an hour and a half because they just got flooded with phone calls.
Wow.
And he and I, it was like we had rehearsed what we said for weeks because they did just fit together hand in glove. I took two topics, confession and purgatory, and showed where they were in the Bible. I just went straight and I said, here's Bible verse supports this, here's another Bible verse supports this. And Jeff took big picture things like sola scriptura and sola fide. And the host of the program was just dumbfounded. And it was supposed to be us coming on to give our side, but he got kind of antagonistic pretty quickly because he couldn't believe what he was hearing. And then when Jeff said on the air, well, I'm a former Protestant minister, the guy's jaw hit the floor. You know, I don't think he'd ever heard of that before. He said, what?
Right.
And so, you know, we did that, and I thought, okay, we've taught them a lesson. hopefully they won't air any more of this garbage on their station. And I was their contact guy, and they had people calling the station after we went off the air. They had people calling the next day. And since I was their contact, they gave everybody my home phone number.
Oh.
And so I had all these people calling me at my house, and Catholic, non-Catholic, but 100% was positive response.
Oh, wow.
The Catholics were saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Finally, you know, this is the only Christian station around, and we listen to it. They're always talking about Catholics, and most of the time they get it wrong, and we have to suffer through that. And the non-Catholics are saying, thank you, we learned something about the Catholic faith we didn't know today or yesterday, whenever it was they called. And so I was like, well, good. And I had several people say, well, can you do some more? I was like, well, no, it's not my radio station. I can't do any more. But this one guy called who was a fairly wealthy, hooked up with a fairly wealthy family here in Birmingham, said, John, I will pay for you to buy the airtime if you'll put on a show on that station along the lines of what you did, you know, on the radio the other day.
Wow.
And at first I got the big head. I was like, oh, wow, I must have been great. They love me. This guy's going to pay me money to get on the air. But then I slept on it, and I woke up the next morning going, that's a ridiculous idea. You know, I don't know enough about my faith, because this was basically my first public apologetics encounter in my life. And so I'm like, I'm not real sure about doing this on the radio. I don't know anything about radio. So I told the guy, I'm not interested. And he said, well, pray about it. I said, this is so ridiculous, I'm not even going to pray about it. I said, if God wants it to happen, he's got to make it happen. I'm not going to pray about it. And several things happened over the next few months that kind of, you know, these coincidences, quote unquote. And I realized, I said, okay, God, I'll take the next step. I'll call them and see if they'll put me on. And I'm thinking, they're not going to let me go on the air. And, well, I tried for several weeks, leaving messages with the sales manager, to tell them, you know, telling him I wanted to buy airtime. Didn't hear back from him. And I picked up the phone one more time. It was like after calling for 7 or 8 weeks. And then I put the phone down and said, nope. I said, I've done what I need to do. I said, God, if you want this man to call me, you have him call me. An hour later, the phone rang, and it was the sales manager from the station.
Praise God.
And I, you know, my whole body was like one big goosebump. And I was like, okay. And I told him, I said, all I want to do is explain the Catholic faith from the Catholic perspective, and I'm not going to avoid areas where we disagree with Baptists and fundamentalists. So I said, but I'm not going to condemn anybody to hell. He said, okay, come down, let's sign a contract. I'm like, what? I'm still hoping I can end up picketing the station. You know? And so I'm like, what? He said, yeah, come on down. So I called the guy. I said, now you're putting up this money, right? He said, absolutely. So I signed a contract, and I ended up with a Catholic apologetics program for 1 hour a week on a Sunday night on the largest Protestant radio station in the state of Alabama.
Wow.
100,000-watt station, covers most of central Alabama. And that's how I got going in all of this. And once I got on the radio, I was an expert, you know, because I'm on the radio. And so people started calling and wanting me to give talks, Knights of Columbus, the Sierra Club, and I eventually did some talks at my parish. I was on the radio from March of 98 till March of 99, 1 year. And then in the summer of 99, I did 4 talks on 4 consecutive Wednesday nights, 1 talk each night at my parish. And they got recorded, and folks at EWTN Radio heard them and called me and said, do you mind if we play these on our radio? I said, no, and all I knew about EWTN Radio was that it was shortwave that went out all over the world. I didn't realize there were, I think at the time, maybe 8 or 9 Catholic radio stations in the country that took their signal. And, you know, I said, yeah, go ahead, and I promptly forgot about it because the guy said, well, it'll take several months to work into the rotation. And then one Sunday morning in January of 2000, I come home, there's like 17, 18 phone messages on my answering machine.
Wow.
And I was like, what is this about? You know, I was a prank caller, somebody got the wrong number 17 times, what? And I start listening, the first guy says, I'd like to get a copy of the talk that I just heard, and leaves his name and number. I was like, what's he talking about? You know? And then the next one says, I just heard a talk on EW10 by John Merganoon, somebody named John. You know? And I was like, oh my gosh, they heard the talk. And at the end of the talk, they had my contact info. So a tape ministry or tape apostolate was born. And in 2000, we sent out 2,000 cassette tapes, approximately 2,000 cassette tapes, you know, to Florida, Nevada, California, Texas, Michigan. And then I started getting calls back from people a few months after they got the tapes. And each Sunday, for 4 Sundays in a row, they aired one of my talks, and the same thing happened. And after I'd send the tapes out a few months later, I'd get called, can you come talk to our parish? Well, yeah, I guess so. Where are you? Kalamazoo, Michigan. Well, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, they said, well, what do you charge? I said, well, I don't know. What do you pay? You know, I said, I have no idea. You know, I've never done this before. So I started giving talks at parishes and traveling around the country. And in the meantime, I'd switched from the Salesian apostolate to running Catholic radio station that had come into town in Birmingham here on the heels of my radio program. Basically, the radio program I did, which I called the Bible Christian Hour, just it stirred up a hornet's nest of interest, a good hornet's nest, among the Catholic community, and people started wanting more, and we ended up being able to bring a Catholic radio station into town.
Praise God.
And the folks who ran it asked me, John, will you run the radio station? I said, I don't know anything about radio. They said, you don't have to. Just keep doing your, you know, public relations stuff and writing the newsletter like you did for the Salesian apostolate or Salesian ministry, and we'll take care of the technical stuff. So I said, okay. So I was doing Catholic radio, managing Catholic radio, doing apologetics on the side. But each year from 2000 on, the apologetics just kept growing. More talks, more tapes, and then CDs, and then MP3 downloads. And this year, we're probably going to hit around the 120,000 mark for the number of copies of talks we've sent out.
Wow.
To all 50 states and approximately 30 foreign countries now.
And
it's just, yeah, it's just been incredible. You know, it's, you know, I never sat down and said, you know, Mom, when I grow up, I want to be a Catholic apologist. And it's just, it's something I tell people I got dragged into kicking and screaming. They say, every so often people email me or write me a letter or give me a call and say, you know, I want to be a Catholic apologist. How do I do it? I said, well, don't try to be one. I said, that's how I did it. I said, well, it's a long story. But, you know, I just tell people start small at your parish, give a talk. If people seem to like it, well, then maybe you've got a flair for this, and see if other people want to hear you talk. And if so, just keep going along those lines, and when a door opens, walk through it. And one day you'll be a full-time Catholic apologist.
You've given away 100,000-plus talks. I think I've given at least half of that away of your talks.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
In the last couple of years, I mean, during my conversion, and I've shared this with you before the last time we went through this, but my conversion was a lot of studying materials that I had never even encountered. And one day my wife and I were in a Catholic bookstore, and we saw this little tape that said John Martin somebody, and we didn't know who that was, and it was a debate, actually, that you had with a Church of Christ minister, a preacher of some kind. And
right.
So we got that, and we also got a couple of the other talks that they had there, and we went home and listened to them. We were like, wow, this is fantastic. And then, you know, so we started getting your talks, and then we were, you know, saying, oh, we got to share this. And then I discovered those EWTN downloads off their audio library. So I started downloading those and burning CDs, and I was giving them out to people, and everybody was like,
oh, by the way, you owe me some royalties for that.
I do.
Go ahead.
A few dollars, anyway. Oh, I'll send you a check. I wouldn't cash it for you, but I'll send it to you anyway. But and it's been amazing to see the response, you know, because everybody says the same thing. Why have I never heard this before? I mean, just this week, I had two people ask me for John Martinoni resource material. You know, where can I find John Martinoni stuff? So I always say the BibleChristianSociety.com, of course, but, you know, but it's just amazing to see, you know, that this material, it just continues to work in the way it did when it was first released. It's just, it's been part of what my wife and I do as a ministry, giving materials out to people, and it's just been a fantastic response. So, you know, praise God.
Amen to that. That's, you know, I've got 20 different talks now on the website. Like I said, it's BibleChristianSociety.com. 19 of the talks are mine. One of the talks is my pastor, who's a former Baptist minister. It's his conversion story. But I look at it, all the talks, you know, I tell people it's very basic stuff that I have. Moms and dads write me telling me that their 8, 9, and 10-year-olds are listening to my CDs and getting something from them. Now, obviously, they're not remembering as much as an adult might or understanding as much, but they're understanding enough to where, you know, they get it, that the Catholic faith is it. But it's fresh material for adults as well, and it's, you know, I don't have a degree in theology. I've had one course in theology in my entire life. I actually call it anti-theology because it was such a bad course at an unnamed Catholic college taught by an unnamed Catholic, quote-unquote, professor. But I don't have a philosophy degree, so you don't get deep theology, you don't get deep philosophy. But I tell people, in order to really understand your faith, you don't need deep theology and deep philosophy. And in order to explain and defend your faith, particularly with Protestants, with non-Catholic Christians, you don't need deep philosophy and deep theology. You just need to know a few things, some techniques, and some Bible verses here and there. And by golly, you can go out there and be a Catholic apologist, and you can explain the faith, and you can lead people to Christ and to His church, and be successful at doing it without having the Bible memorized.
Well, I've really followed your method a lot. I mean, one, you said, you know, study something every single day. Learn a little more about your faith every day, and that's been my philosophy. That's the whole, you know, philosophy behind my podcast, The Catholic Hack, is I'm not a theologian. I'm no expert. I'm just a passionate layman who wants to evangelize and wants to, not just to non-Catholics. I really feel the calling is to Catholics, you know, to shore up these Catholics in their faith and close the cafeteria, so to speak. And that's what's been the good thing about using your material is it's down to earth. It's not over your head. It's very digestible. So it relates to the vast majority of Catholics or non-Catholics that you're going to find. They can listen to it. They can digest it quickly, and they can get the core material out of it. And it's like you say, you don't have to be that expert. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have the entire Bible memorized. You know, my whole mission is twofold. It's one, to share the faith, and two, to share resources. You know, to encourage these Catholics that there are some fantastic resources that are available to you that you know can help you along this path, to equip you to share your own faith with your friends, your family, your coworkers, etc. And that's where I think the value of your work has really come in.
Well, as I tell people, I say, listen, you can evangelize other people by introducing them to folks like me.
Right.
You know, you don't necessarily have to know all the things that I know, which isn't really a whole lot, or you definitely don't need to know all the things, say, a Scott Hahn or a Tim Staples knows, which is a whole lot. But if you know where the resources are, how to get hold of them, and you come across someone and they ask you, once saved, always saved is the way it is. It says right here in the Bible, this. Well, you say, you know, interesting point you make, but do me a favor. Would you listen to this CD and let me know what you think about it? It's about once saved, always saved from a Catholic perspective, using just the Bible. Would you listen to that and let me know what you think? Boom. You're getting them to listen to 50, 55 minutes of the Catholic perspective on the Bible, and particularly on once saved, always saved. And whether or not they're convinced by one CD, you very well have probably planted some seeds and maybe open them up to, hey, well, now here's some stuff from Tim Staples or from Scott Hahn or Jeff Cavins or whoever, that, you know, that door has been opened there, and you are evangelizing by getting them in touch with Catholic resources. You're kind of, it's a like a directed study that you're doing. So you don't have to necessarily, you know, remember, oh, 25, 30, 40 scripture verses. You know, it'd be nice if you, you know, the more you talk to people, you'd start remembering things and remembering, you know, oh, yeah, Matthew 16:16-18, that's about Peter being the rock. It's, and you will as you use the verses more. I mean, there's right. still a lot of verses that, you know, I've used before, but it's kind of like, oh, yeah, there's a verse, you know, if I don't use it for 6 months, it's right. like, man, where is that? Yeah, that sounds familiar. and I got to go looking for it. So, you know, I try to present myself as I'm basically the average Catholic in the pew. You know, Catholics are overall a fairly well-educated group. You know, many are wealthy, but most are in the middle income, lower to upper income class. And they're out there in the pews, and they probably haven't been very well-educated in their faith. But, boom, and you know, that's me. But you can go from where you are right now to where I am. I tell you about it. Anybody can do what I'm doing. It's very simple stuff, very basic stuff. You just got to, you know, take a step in faith and start learning yourself and then being open to the possibilities when, you know, when someone comes up and starts talking to you about Jesus or the Bible or the, you know, the Catholic Church being the whore of Babylon, instead of saying, oh, excuse me, I'm late for a lunch appointment, now you've got something you can do. You can say, oh, I'm listening to you. Okay. All right. Very good. Well, I tell you what, would you do me a favor? Would you listen to this CD? Would you read this book? You know, and let's talk about it when you're done and go from there. So every Catholic can and should be an evangelist. We're all called by our baptism to be evangelists. For some, might be just within the family. For others, might be family, friends, coworkers. For others, like myself, it might be large audiences of folks. But everyone is called to evangelize in some way, shape, or form. And you can't do that unless you're learning, like you said earlier, learning a little bit more about your faith every day.
Absolutely. Now, John, what is the mission to the Bible Christian Society? What is it you hope to accomplish?
Well, my main target right now, as you mentioned earlier, is Catholics. And I look at, you know, you drop a pebble in the pond, you get the first circle, then the circles, waves going out from that first one. The first circle, the first wave are the Catholics. If you can get the Catholics fired up about their faith, even 10% of the Catholics, so here in the United States, truly fired up about their faith, they will go out and they will start converting the non-Catholic Christians, the Baptists, the Fundamentalists, the Evangelicals, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, whoever. And then as a unified Christian body, with more and more, you know, converts coming into the Catholic faith in droves in the near future, which I think is going to happen, Christianity will present a much more unified front to then go out and start converting the Jews, the Muslims, the atheists, the agnostics, Buddhists, Hindus, etc. And so I have a goal for the Bible Christian Society that we established in 1998, coming up on our 10-year anniversary for putting our goals down on paper. And that goal is to convert at least 50% of the greater Birmingham area to Catholicism by the year 2038, which wow. a 40-year time period. So, you know, we've got our work to do because we're starting off at 3-4% Catholic. So, and I figure, so, well, if I set a goal of 50% and we only reach 10-12%, I'm not going to be all that disappointed, you know, because that means we'll have increased the number of Catholics, the percentage of Catholics, 3-4-fold, which would be a very good thing. But I believe that all things are possible with God, and I think we can get to 50% or more. And, you know, just doing a number of things, like with the CDs, the parish talks, We just formed a separate nonprofit corporation called Queen of Heaven Radio that we've just signed a letter of intent to bring Catholic radio back to Birmingham because the folks that owned it previously were out of Florida, and for a number of reasons, they ended up selling the station after being on the air for a few years. So we've been without Catholic radio now for about 3.5 years, but we've just signed a deal to bring Catholic radio back. Hopefully all that will work out, and in another 3 or 4 months, we'll be back on the air with Catholic radio, which will help immensely.
Absolutely.
In our goal of converting at least 50% of Birmingham.
Praise God. Praise God. Now, recently, last time we spoke, you told me this fantastic encounter that some people came to visit you and your pastor and to lay down the gauntlet and issue a warning to you. Can you tell us once again about that?
Sure. Some guy, there's a small town up northeast Alabama. It's called Arab, Alabama. It's spelled Arab, but it's pronounced Arab. And his name is Michael. And I guess he got hold of a CD of mine or something from somebody. And anyway, he apparently followed up and ordered several more CDs through my website and got into my newsletters and all and started reading. And one day he emailed me and said, I'd like to come down and talk to you and your pastor about the Catholic Church. And I knew immediately that he's not wanting to talk to us because he's interested in joining or wants to find out more, but I knew this was going to be a session of him trying to convert us. And so I called my pastor, and he asked if we could speak with my pastor as well, because, again, my pastor's conversion story from Baptist minister to Catholic priest is on the website, so I assumed he had heard that. And so my pastor, Father Bean, says, absolutely. So a week before the meeting's supposed to happen, this guy, Michael, calls me and says, would you mind if I bring a couple friends? No, not at all. Well, his two friends that he brought were both ex-Catholics.
Oh.
And they can be some of the worst, you know. So they start off trying to tell me that the Pope can't be infallible because of the Inquisition. And I'm like, well, first of all, you don't understand what infallibility means. I said, let's assume for the sake of argument that every person who died as a result of going through the courts of the Inquisition, that it was a wrongful death in the eyes of God. I said, well, basically that would mean that if the Pope allowed this, directly said, yes, this is okay, that the Pope would be sinning, not that he would be teaching incorrect doctrine. It would be sins that are on his soul that he has to account for, assuming that, again, and I'm not giving in to the argument, I'm just saying for the sake of argument, that that's how it was. And this guy, I first asked him, I said, how many people died in the Inquisition? He said, about 60 million, which immediately identified him to me as someone who has no clue what he was talking about.
Well, inquiring minds want to know, John.
Well, yeah, I mean, I told him, I said, well, if that's the case, then that would mean that every person in all of Europe, not just in Spain, but in all of Europe, at one point in either the 1400s or 1500s, would have had to have died twice over. You know, the population of all of Europe at any given time around was 30 million.
Right.
So to say 60 million people died in the Inquisition is preposterous. So I told him, I said, well, you know, historians, honest and accurate historians have said less than 5,000. I said, because the Inquisition kept records. So number one, you need to check your sources. Number two, and that's when I went into the argument, okay, for the argument's sake, let's say all 5,000 were wrongful death. And then we got off on the other things. We got into once saved, always saved, and we started disagreeing on a verse. And this was, again, maybe 15 minutes after they had just talked about how the Pope can't be infallible. We started talking about a particular verse, and one of the gentlemen, his name was Rich, one of the ex-Catholics. I looked at him. I said, now, Rich, I said, what do you think this verse means? He looked at me and he spouted off, you know, a couple minutes worth of stuff. And I said, okay, now not a single one of those words that you just said is in the Bible. Okay, so we can safely say that that's your interpretation of this verse, correct? Well, yeah, I guess. I said, well, my interpretation is this, and it's different from yours. Why do you believe your interpretation is more valid than mine when don't you believe I have the right and the duty as a Christian to read the Bible and decide for myself? He said, yes, you have that right and that duty. I said, okay, I've read the Bible for myself, and that's my interpretation. How do you say I'm wrong? How do you say your interpretation is more valid? And he just kind of stared at me for a minute. And I looked at him, I said, are you infallible? And he stared at me for the longest part, like 5, 6, 7 seconds, and I could just see the wheels turning behind his eyes.
The cold sweat breaking out on his forehead.
Yeah. He's like, well, if I admit that I'm fallible, then basically I have to agree with John's argument here. And I know he's thinking, I can't say I'm infallible because we just tried to argue that the Pope's not infallible.
Right.
So, and after about 5, 6 seconds, he looked at me and said, yes, that was an infallible interpretation.
What?
I went, whoa. And I turned to Father and I said, Father, this is amazing. We have the Pope here with us today. You know, and so I turned back to him. I said, you're infallible in your interpretation? Yes, that's an infallible interpretation. So after that, every time we'd disagree on a verse, I'd look at him. I said, now, is that an infallible interpretation too? Yes, it is.
Wow.
And I don't know about him, but I think the fact that he had to go to that length to avoid losing an argument with a Catholic, I think that had an impact on the other two guys.
You'd because, have to think. I mean, I would love to have been a fly on the wall in that conversation. And
I know.
Really love to have heard the thoughts of those other two guys thinking to themselves, what did he just say? Did he just say he was infallible? Oh, wow.
And I've got a complete, well, not a complete, but a much more complete accounting of this in one of my newsletters, which, by the way, let your listeners know, I've got a free email newsletter I send out each week, or just about every week, called Apologetics for the Masses. And I think it was issues 68, 69, they're all archived on the website, all the past issues, and you can sign up for the new ones by just putting your email address in. But it's on there, and, we got into some other stuff that they were just making these outlandish statements that you just ask a question or two. And that's what I tell people. Protestant theology is very convoluted, but the fact of the matter is that they keep their theology about once saved, always saved, compartmentalized from the theology on this other thing, compartmentalized from this theology on this other thing. If you start showing them tying together all of these things, well, all these things don't tie together well. It's not very systematic theology. And what they believe on once saved, always saved could actually contradict what they believe on some other doctrine, but they've just never examined it all at the same time. And that's what we as Catholics need to make them do by simply asking some questions. And like once saved, always saved, Father Bean brought up John 15, verses 1 through 6, where, Jesus is the vine, his followers are the branches. So if you're a Christian, you're a branch on the vine. You're saved, right, under once saved theology. So we said, but look here, what can happen? If you don't produce good fruit, you can get cut off, thrown into the fire and burned, which is an obvious reference to hell. How can somebody be cut off from the vine if once saved, always saved is true? Oh, well, that just means they weren't really Christian in the first place. Oh, so they fooled Jesus?
Right.
You know, how could they have been a branch of the vine unless they must have fooled Jesus? Well, no, it just they fooled themselves. Okay, but how did they become a branch of the vine then, if they weren't really saved? Well, yes, they're saved, but, and they just started going around in circles.
Right.
And Father and I just shaking our heads. And then I took them to Galatians 5, where it says, if the Judaizers were trying to get the Gentiles to accept circumcision in order to be truly Christian or truly followers of Christ, and Paul says to them, he says, if you accept circumcision, you are severed from Christ. And I said, well, how do you explain this? I said, these guys are Christians. I said, but Paul says if they accept circumcision, which I bet some of them did, that they're severed from Christ. Oh, well, that doesn't mean you're not saved.
Well, I'll tell you what, you try being severed from Christ and let me know how it works out.
Well, I know. I said, well, don't you have to be a member of the body of Christ to be saved? Well, yes, but, well, then if you're severed from Christ, you're no longer a member of the body, so you're not saved. Well, no, you're still saved. That just means you're not walking in Christ. I'm like, what? You know, if you're not walking in Christ, you're still saved? Well, yes, but, you know, Jesus isn't happy with you.
Which verse is that again?
Okay. Yeah. And I'm like, and where are these verses in the Bible? And it's just, but we got them finally. I went to the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son. You know, and I told him, I said, here's a son. I said, can we all agree that the father in the story is analogous of God the Father? Yes, everyone agrees. Okay. The son is analogous to any one of us. Can we all? Yes, we all agree on that. The son is a member of the family. He then, you know, probably because of, you know, youthful rebellion as a young adult, he basically decides, you know, he asks his father for his inheritance, which in essence is kind of like saying to his dad, you're dead to me. Go ahead and give me my money now. You know, it's kind of an insult. It's an insult.
Right.
But the father goes ahead, gives him his share of the inheritance. The son goes off and spends it on sinful things. He lives a life of sin and spends all of his money foolishly, ends up starving and feeding the pigs for someone else, etc., which is a horrible thing for a Jew. And he realizes, he says, I have sinned against God and against man, against my father. I'm going to go back and tell him, just treat me as a servant, but just take me back. I'm sorry. And so the son is coming up the road back to his father. The father sees him, goes to meet him, rejoices, and says, here is my son who was dead and is alive again. And I looked at him. I said, okay, how does this fit with once saved, always saved? And I said, the son is alive. Then he's dead in the father's eyes. Then he's alive again. I said, you can't be alive again unless you're first alive and then dead and then alive once more. So once saved, always saved doesn't fit here. He was saved. He lost his salvation. He was dead in the eyes of God the Father. Now he's alive again through repentance of his sin. Oh, well, he was still a son, biologically speaking. And I'm like, what? You know, I said, no. I said, the Jewish custom, if the father said you were dead, you lost all rights of family. You had no longer any familial rights. You know, for all intents and purposes, you were dead. Legally, covenantally, inheritance-wise, etc., you were dead to the father. And, well, but, yeah, but, you know, who are they talking? They're talking about an earthly father here, biological. I said, well, you all agreed that this is God the Father. Well, yeah, but it was pitiful.
It's a slippery slope. I mean,
it was pitiful.
Once you start pointing these things out, they start backsliding and trying to find loopholes. And I think in their heart of hearts, they really start to understand, you know, the fallacy of their logic, and they're just trying to struggle to hold on as best they can.
Instead of saying, you know, you've got a point there, I'm going to have to think about this and do some more reading and research and prayer, etc., and get back to you. But instead, they will come up with the most ridiculous arguments to avoid losing the argument. And when they do that, that's when, like you said, I think they hear themselves. And they're being forced to think about things they've never been forced to think about before, about how all this fits together and how what they believe actually does not fit with what the Bible really says. And it causes some problems. It plants some seeds, and it ended up, excuse me, it ended up that the guy, Rich, who had declared he was infallible in interpreting Scripture, I asked him, I said, by what authority do you teach what you teach? And he held up the Bible. He said, by the Bible's authority. I said, oh, really? I said, well, if the Bible gives you authority to teach what you teach, then I guess your name is in there somewhere, right? And he just kind of looked at me. I said, well, you know, if you're telling me the Bible gives you authority to teach what you're teaching, then the Bible ought to tell me that it gives you that authority. I said, but you know what? You know how authority is passed on in the Bible? I said, if you look in Titus and Paul's letters to Timothy, authority is passed on through the laying on of hands. I said, who laid hands on you? He just stared at me for a second. He said, Jesus Christ did. I'm like, oh, man, this is, yeah, ridiculous.
When did that happen exactly? I mean, was there
this was a few weeks ago.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When did he? Yeah, I'm thinking, wow, he must be like 2,000 years old, you know, right, standing here in front of me. But, you know, I just had to shake my head. And I tell people, see, there are folks out there who are very smart people. Yeah, I've talked to people with PhDs in math and physics and chemistry. I've talked to doctors and lawyers, businessmen, bankers. I've talked to, you know, across the spectrum of professions. And very smart people. But for some reason, when it comes to the Bible, people can get stupid in a hurry. You know, they just throw out common sense. They throw out logic. None of it matters because they've got this preconceived set of beliefs that they're trying to twist the scripture to fit. And by golly, if you get in the way with a few questions, it doesn't matter. They got to say something to twist a little harder on the scriptures to make it fit. You know, they sometimes get, I think, panic kind of almost, and they have to argue with you in some way. They can't let you win the argument because if you win one argument, as a Catholic, I think it really causes a whole deck of cards to come tumbling down.
Yeah, you know, like, absolutely. So much of what I hope to accomplish is not to be the guy who convinces them completely, you know, puts the nail in the coffin, so to speak. My sole goal is to just be the one Catholic who gave them a response. You know,
because
yeah, they probably have never encountered a Catholic who had a response to any of their objections. So I'm going to be that one Catholic who's going to have an answer for them. And 9 times out of 10, it'll rock their world. You know,
it does.
And keeping that strategy, I mean, you know, it's not that I want to beat them in an argument or a debate. It's that I'm going to match them. You know, I'm going to at least bring to the table that Catholic response and leave it there and let everything else, that's all the whole work of the Holy Spirit. I don't have anything to do with that. And oftentimes I'll even feel like, oh, man, I didn't do a very good job. I didn't say these things. I really wish I would have said those things. But you know what? In the end, they've never heard a Catholic, you know, say where in the Bible can we find Mary's Immaculate Conception or, you know, or some of these things that they've just, you know, just say, oh, that's not biblical. That's just crazy. Well, it's not really, you know, and they've never heard that response. So when you give that, it rocks their world. They
absolutely. And that's, you know, just like what you said, I tell people our job is to throw out seeds, and some seed will land among thorns, some seed on the rocky path, some seed will land on good ground. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to make that seed grow and prosper and eventually bear good fruit. Our job is to throw the seeds out. And then after we throw the seeds out, to pray like crazy. But we don't convert anyone. It's the Holy Spirit that changes the hearts and minds of men and women. So, you know, but again, it goes back to we have to, number one, be willing to step out in faith, defend our faith. And number two, we have to know a little something about our faith and be learning more all the time in order to be prepared. You know, 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an account to anyone who calls, or to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you. God's telling you to be prepared. So, by golly, you need to do something to be prepared. Even, you know, just 15 minutes a day reading the catechism, the Bible, 30 minutes a day, you know, whatever you can do, you need to do it.
Praise God. And that's where the Bible Christian Society can come in and help us out. John, thank you for your time today.
Now, on your website, how many talks do you have for MP3 download?
We've got 20 different talks on MP3 download, CDs. I still even have cassette tapes for those who drive ancient cars like I do. and plus the newsletter. We've got now, I think, issue number 70 or 71 will be going out this week and covers a range of topics. It's my actual exchanges, many of them with non-Catholic Christians. I've had a few exchanges in the last several weeks with an atheist who's he's a neurology professor at the Yale School of Medicine, and that's been pretty interesting. And so, you know, get all the resources. They're free. You know, if you order the CDs or tapes, there's a small shipping and handling charge, but you can even avoid that by just mailing in your order. So I want folks to use these CDs, use these MP3 downloads, use the newsletters to learn more about the faith and then take it out there.
Praise God. Thank you very much, John. God bless. Praise you. Praise God for your work, and thank you for all that you're doing for our Catholic faith, John.
Well, thank you, Joe. It's been a pleasure being here with you on The Catholic Hack, and God bless what you're doing, too. It's all the members of the body of Christ working together.
Praise God. Thanks, John.
All right. Well, have a good Christmas.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, John Martinoni. Be sure to check out John's material at www.BibleChristianSociety.com. Stop by the blog, www.CatholicHack.com. Pick up a Catholic Hack t-shirt and support this Catholic podcast today. Also, leave me a review on iTunes. That is working. We are reaching more and more people because of your great support on iTunes. So leave a review today. That's it. I'm praying for you. I ask that you pray for me. And until next time, may God richly bless you. God bless. The Catholic Hack, the best in parking lot podcasting.